Hey everyone, and welcome to open class number 31. Hope you're doing really, really well. I'm excited to share a success story with you, as well as go over three, I think, questions from viewers just like you. Speaking of which, if you have a question that you would like myself or Coach Michael or both of us to talk about in a future open class episode, then please send that question to questions@thesleepcoachschool.com. Okay, cool. Before we get started, as always, nothing is medical advice here, just general thoughts and suggestions that I hope will be super helpful to you. And thanks for the like there. So yeah, actually let's jump in here and go over this success story that came in via email earlier this week. It is from Elizabeth, who writes the following. Hi Daniel, hope all is well on your end. It is, thank you very much. I'm writing to share an insomnia success story to relate to your YouTube listeners. In my earlier days of insomnia, I so appreciated you sharing stories of recovery through your channel. It gave such hope. Now I'm here to do the same. After struggling with insomnia for about a year and a half, I can confidently say that I'm able to fall asleep, stay asleep now without relying on any medications, melatonin, or any other of those herbs that supposedly promise to do the trick. I had the type of insomnia where I always jolt awake while drifting into sleep and would average 4 or 5 hours tops a night. I struggled with feelings of rage, heightened anxiety at night when I couldn't sleep, and even when I would, just get in bed at all. What helped? Not fearing it, all caps. Just like you always say, instead of getting caught up in all the feelings of fear, I learned to let them wash over me at night without over-identifying with them. I also practice relaxing my body and mind throughout the day at scheduled times. Watching nature documentaries with my blue light glasses on in the bed was also helpful, especially as this stopped me from focusing on trying to sleep. I would end up falling asleep in the bed without meaning to. Finally, setting up a consistent bedtime, waking up time was very helpful. I continued to wake up the same time each morning, even on the weekends, to keep my circadian rhythm in check. I'm not a perfect sleeper by any means, but I don't fear those nights when I'm not sleeping well. So thankful to have stumbled upon your work and YouTube channel earlier this year. Please continue doing the work that you do, Elizabeth. I am super, super thankful, Elizabeth. I'm, more than that, of course, happy, happy, happy that you're doing so well. And I really appreciate emails like this one because hope is that commodity we just cannot have enough of. So every email like this, every comment is super helpful. I think, as I'm reading this, there's kind of like two parallel thoughts in my mind that that they're happening. One is that, everyone's journey is different. Whatever takes you to a place of less fear, where you're less attached, where you're more okay with a night where you don't sleep, that is always the true, the right path for you. So, if I always say, it's good to wake up about the same time. Having a consistent bedtime doesn't really matter. It's more important to not know what time it is and kind of go to bed when you feel sleepy. But if you find that going to bed about the same time, getting up about the same time, it works for you, perfect. And the other one was the the blue tinted glasses, which that can become a sleep effort, of course. So just always keep that in mind. Not for you so much, Elizabeth, but for anyone else tuning in. If you don't mind it, if it's a non-issue, totally fine. But just keep in mind always that whatever you do to kind of protect your sleep can lead you towards being more preoccupied and having more trouble. But again, going back to what I said first, whatever is taking you into the direction of no fear, perfect. So thanks so much for sharing this, Elizabeth, and stay in touch. Let's move forward here and look at some other questions. So the next question we have comes from Singapore, I believe. Yes, this is from Quinn. So let's read this together. Hi, Daniel. I'm currently living in Singapore and having terrible anxiety and insomnia. I even took lorazepam, but I'm still wide awake. I've not been able to sleep well for almost 1 month, and it's affecting my life so much. so stressed out, finding ways to kill myself so that I could sleep forever. I watched many of your YouTube videos, which puts me at ease sometimes, but as soon as night arrives, I start to think about all the negativity subconsciously and my heart races like crazy. I'm so tired. I really hope that I can go back to sleeping normally again. Can I? Thank you for all for helping people, Tomia. Anytime, Quinn, and thank you for reaching out. A couple of things that come to my mind when I read this. First one is, you know, there's no question that you're suffering a lot right now. You know, that comes through, of course. I want to acknowledge that. But you have that is working in your favor is that you've quote unquote only, you know, 1 month is a long time, but you quote unquote only had trouble sleeping for 1 month. And why is that so helpful? Well, it is because you can still easily remember a time where you slept well. 2, 3, 4 months ago, you were sleeping well. And, you know, why does that help you? Because it's easier for you than for somebody who's had trouble sleeping for many years to see that you're the same person, same brain, the same chat, the same planet, the same air, the same, like everything is the same. And there's nothing that's wrong with you. It is just that you've gotten stuck in a certain pattern of thinking, a certain relationship between being awake at night. You know, when you don't have trouble sleeping, you know, both sleep and wakefulness are neutral to you. You don't really have a particular relationship with them. You know, sleeping is good. You know, you don't think about it. Being awake, that's fine. You know, don't think about it. But then something happens, some stress, you're suddenly not sleeping and your brain goes, whoa, something is off here. Something's going on. It goes into like problem solving mode. And then your relationship with these two things change. Your relationship to sleep becomes that of like unanswered love. You're like, I want it. I'm craving it. Why can't I have it? I need it. And your relationship with wakefulness at night becomes the opposite. I don't want to have this. Go away. I don't want to have you, right? And then you have this imbalance, which keeps you in this loop of like craving sleep, not wanting wakefulness, leading to more anxiety, more wakefulness. And then, you know, that relationship between yourself and sleep and wakefulness keeps being unbalanced, if you will. So that's kind of a little bit about, you know, I think, again, you know, not having had it for a long time is works in your favor. And another important thought here is this one. So oftentimes people think that when you've tried a medication, particularly a prescription strength medication, and you're still not sleeping, that is a sign that something is really, really wrong. You know, that is a very common thought. But it really doesn't mean anything else that, it doesn't mean anything except that you either weren't sleepy at all, in which case no medication can make you sleep if you're not sleepy, or you were so anxious that, you know, that the sedation that comes from medication, it didn't really, you know, you weren't sedated enough to actually change your thoughts. It's important to know that feelings like anxiety always come from thoughts, and medications, of course, don't directly change your thoughts. They're kind of like a big, like a hammer approach, like a, you know, there, it's not like a scalpel here, you know, we're kind of hitting the hammer, like, you know, we're just kind of sedating everything. And sometimes that sedation can just make it hard for you to formulate thoughts. And we can't really formulate any thoughts because you're so sedated, then you are kind of incapable of coming up with thoughts that are complex enough to produce anxiety. So that's what medications do, they're sedating. But you know what, if you are very alert and you're not, that sedation doesn't really change your thoughts, nothing happens. But it doesn't mean that something's wrong with you, you know, not at all. The fact that medications don't produce sleep is actually expected, you know. And it's you know, another way to think about it is like, it's a level of skepticism. Somebody who's not very skeptical and takes anything and believes that this will really help me, this is gonna really help me, that thought, this will help me, that thought can be like, you know, the thing that reduces the hyperarousal versus somebody who's a skeptic, who's like, I don't think this is gonna work. You know, they for them, it doesn't produce any real change. So that was the second thought I thought about. The third thought is like, as we've heard from, if you want to check out like the when I talked to Riley. You can go in the Success Stories playlist, which is in the description of any new episode. Riley talks about being in a really dark place, It's not uncommon, but just listen to him. He got out of there and he's really happy now. So you can go from a really dark place to sleeping really well and being happy again. No question about that. So what should one do? I think when you are in a place of like real bewilderment, puzzlement, like everything is kind of spinning around, you don't understand what's going on. The tricky part is that, you know, things you do at that point, like let's say you want to start like, okay, I'm going to start a CBTI course, or I'm going to start working with Daniel, or I'm going to learn this. Anything can become a real effort at that point because you're in this intense problem solving mode. So the key thing when you are in this like real intense problem solving mode where things are kind of crazy, you're in what I call Oz, like you're bewildered, puzzled, you don't understand, is actually as little as possible. Something like, you know, get up at the same time every morning, try to be active during the day, and just refrain from trying things, experimentation. And when you're a little bit more kind of like, when you're not in that intense problem solving mode anymore, then you're in a great position to start working. And I would say just, you know, in fact, Quinn, I think actually we are actually working together. I think, you know, you're my bedtime client, but for anyone in this position, like, you know, wait until maybe things are, you know, do nothing until you're a little bit outside of that complete Oz phase. And then you can start like learning here on the channel and making positive changes. And, you know, as I always say, there's hope. Everyone can get to a place where you sleep well. It's just, you know, you just need a little bit of education, maybe some support, an open mind, and you'll get there. 100%. You too, Quinn. Everybody will do that. 100%. Okay, so hang in there, Quinn, and stay with us and let us know how you're doing, of course. Okay, cool. So we have Jessica here, who has a what's become one of my favorite questions, actually, which is, as you'll see, I was doing much better, but now I have trouble again. What should I be thinking about? It is a very important one. And so let's see what we can learn here and how we can help Jessica. Hi, Daniel. I've been trying not to bother you with an email, but I'm thinking that's it's time. Ha ha. Absolutely. I'm super happy that you reached out. I've been an avid viewer of your channel and it helped me so much. You worked like a charm for me. My initial insomnia started after getting off a benzo prescribed for sleep after the birth of my son. I had terrible insomnia for some time and it turned into a habit. I had a phobia of sleep and absolutely feared bedtime, instant panic and dread. This was obviously not helpful. However, I worked through a CBTI course and I improved after about 3 or 4 weeks, slept perfect for several months. No issues, no matter situation, no fear of not sleeping either. Then, one night after a stressful situation, I was up thinking all night, not worried about sleep, just thinking. Then I realized it was 4 a.m. and I literally panicked. I don't know why. I remembered feeling terrified of not sleeping all night. Then it happened the next night and on after a couple of weeks, I found your YouTube channel and watched everything avidly, practiced CBTI, practiced the idea of your channel. I went away again. Fast forward over a year later, I've slept perfectly every night, even with really stressful days ahead of me. But I had to travel out of state for a couple of weeks and stay in a hotel room. I was nervous about COVID, hypervigilant at the bedtime. But what was worse is the person I shared a room with was snoring all night. I couldn't fall asleep for 4 hours and I was calm the whole time until that fourth hour. I suddenly panicked and worried because I knew I wasn't going to sleep. I didn't really sleep. It was a mess through the night. I had so much anxiety. It happened again the next night and then I was able to get home. I slept fine at home all week, but for some reason one night, I had a hard time falling asleep after the time change and I panicked again. I just kept thinking about how terrified I feel in the middle of the night, alone, knowing I won't sleep. Also, I kept catastrophizing thoughts like I might be stuck in this, am I better, etc. Now, every night is a struggle of varying degrees with anxiety. My sleep, but usually sleep is compromised. It's only been a week, but I want to get this out of this pattern as soon as possible. I'm obsessed with not sleeping. I think about it all day long. At night, my heart pounds right away as I lay down. I try not to care that I'm not sleeping, but I really do. I worry about the things mentioned, and I hate the feeling of anxiety. I want that feeling of relaxation, just knowing that I would sleep that I've had for so long. How can I get back there? Thank you so much. Jessica, thank you very much for staying in touch. And I want to start with, you know, the overall thing here. Like, you know, what should one think about when you have gone from a place where you struggled and then you slept well and now you're having trouble again, okay? And to do this the best way, we're gonna, you know, think about two fictional people here. And we'll call them Kim and Chloe, you know? So Kim, you know, she is absolutely dead set on getting about 7 hours of sleep every single night. That is, you know, there's no compromise there. It has to be that much, not a minute less, okay? And she does everything she can to make sure she doesn't lose 1 minute of sleep. Then we have Chloe, who is, you know, fine with sleeping less. You know, she doesn't actually keep track at all if she sleeps good or if she doesn't sleep much. Both are kind of okay to her. Who will sleep the best? Chloe, of course, right? There's no pressure at all. You know, she's this very relaxed approach. And Kim will struggle a lot because she is really holding on to things, right? She wants it so badly. It's unacceptable for her to lose any sleep, okay? Why am I talking about Kim and Chloe here? Well, here's the thing. Jessica, when you slept well, it was because you became more like Chloe, okay? Why is this so important? Well, it is because when you've gone through, like you learned about CBTI and you did this technique, you did this thing, it can get confusing. You can easily start thinking that you slept better because you got some control. You know, you did this, it worked, you got some control over sleep, and now you're sleeping better. But that was not actually the case. You made some changes, and those changes made you more like Chloe. It made you more okay with being awake at night. It made you accept insomnia more. That's why you slept better. Because if you're like him, you're not gonna sleep no matter how sleepy you are. So you already have been in a place of your real acceptance. That's why you slept so well. And that is, of course, where you need to go back. And I think it is really, really, really just understanding this, just understanding that I was in that accepting place. I was in a place where I was okay with being awake at night. And that helps you so, so much. And now, why did this happen? Well, I think it is because, you know, sleep at some, you know, that when it started the first time, sleep became this thing on your kind of safety radar, you know, and if it is still, you know, even if you sleep better, but if you haven't completely understood that you slept better because you were okay with having insomnia, then it's still like kind of in the periphery of the radar. It's kind of like it can easily be reactivated, and you can see these reactivations happening many times now. So again, I think I'll actually stop there and not go into detail here. I think that is the key one, key insight. So hang in there, Jessica, and I know Jessica and I are actually working. She's my bedtime client now too. Those are for anyone in Jessica's spot. That is the big one. That is the big, big, big insight right there. So stay tuned, Jessica, and let us know how things go. Of course. Cool. Now let's move on to the final question for tonight, which is from Luke, who has submitted many questions in the past. Thanks so much, Luke. Luke says the following. Hi, Daniel. Hope you've been well. Yes, thank you. I've been doing really well. I have been doing pretty well overall. I just was hoping to get your advice on a few of the things that have been bugging me a bit recently regarding sleep. The first is that I constantly have this urge to use the washroom when I'm trying to sleep. It's not that I really have to go, but I get these demanding thoughts that if I don't pee, it may prevent me from sleeping. And it leads me to quickly get up, often at the beginning when I'm trying to sleep, which becomes very frustrating. It doesn't always bother me, but I'm having trouble sleeping at the beginning, and it often comes up. Another brief thing is, I just wanted to confirm with you, is it really okay to use your phone before bed? I hear so much mixed info on that, and it stresses me out a bit, as sometimes I'll read before bed, but sometimes instead I'll watch some videos on my phone. And I just want to know if that makes any difference or not. Best regards. Very well. So two important questions here. And, the, you know, one thing, some of you that follow the channel know that I spoke with Joe from Malaysia the other day, and we talked a lot about Claire Weeks and her teachings. And one thing that I had observed myself was that it's not a common thing, but not rarely either, you find someone say that I just have to pee all the time. And I've also had people tell me that, you know, now that I sleep better, I'm less nervous. I'm just like, I don't have to go pee all the time. So I made a notation of that, that like having to pee all the time is a symptom of anxiety. And she does that too, Claire Weeks. I was so happy when I read that. She's like, that was in her book. She was like, peeing very frequently is a symptom of anxiety. So why is that? I'm not really 100% sure, but again, it's fairly commonly seen, and it gets better when you're less hyper aroused. Now, what should one do when you're in Luke's spot here? Like you kind of know that you don't really need to pee, but then you have this thought that if I don't do it now, it will disrupt my sleep. I think there are like two things that come to mind. One is that like many other kind of protective, like safety behaviors, it can appear that they're working, let me put it that way. So if you do something like, you know, you do go to the washroom, you do pee a bunch of times, and then you sleep pretty good, you can easily think, I'm glad I did that, because if I hadn't done it, I probably wouldn't have slept at all. That connection can easily stay in your brain. And what happens then is that you maintain this overall narrative that you have to do things to preserve and protect your sleep, which easily leads to more of those behaviors and more kind of like safety behaviors. And that seems that what happens is, like, the more safety behaviors you have, the more brittle sleep seems, the more fragile it seems, and then you know, it raises your preoccupation and hyperarousal, anxiety, and then you sleep worse, and then you have more safety behaviors, etc., etc. So that's kind of the problem with safety behaviors. So I think they're like, okay, so one option here is, of course, the one where you say, I don't think I should do that, and just decide that after this time, I don't need to pee, I know that, so I'm just not going to do it. And what can happen, of course, is that the first night you do that, you become extra hyper aroused and anxious, et cetera, and you may sleep very little. But if you just keep doing it, that night will happen where you're like, oh, I slept pretty good. I slept good, and I didn't use the bathroom a bunch of times, so I don't need to do that. You know, that's kind of my first thought. And the second thought is going, is more towards, you know, going towards, it's okay if I don't sleep well. You know, I think it's best to combine those. Like, I'm gonna not go to the bathroom all the time, and I'm gonna be like, it's okay if I don't sleep well tonight, you know, because that works on the other end of this, which is that fear of losing sleep, you know. So those are my two immediate thoughts, Luke. Hope that helped. And then on the other one, you know, classic question, my phone. How bad is it to use the phone close to bedtime? And I want to answer it this way, that how should I put this? You know, the question is, it's to kind of generalize this question. It's similar to, like, how about caffeine? How about exercise? How about my diet? You know, how much does that influence sleep? And the way I think of it is this, that the two main things that truly matter when it comes to sleep is gas and brake. How sleepy you are and how hyper-aroused you are. Those things have a big impact on your sleep, particularly the hyper-arousal. The brake is, you know, that's the thing. That's what causes problems when you have insomnia. That said, a whole bunch of things can have some impact, okay? Whether you floss or not, what brand of toothpaste you use, you know, if you are left-handed or right-handed, if you use public transport, or if you walk to work, you know, all those things can have some impact on your sleep. You know, maybe if you are a vegetarian, you sleep 1 minute less than somebody who isn't. Maybe if you drink Diet Pepsi instead of Diet Coke, you sleep 38 seconds more. Who knows? But does that really matter? It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. You know, the light from a screen may make you sleep 10 seconds more or 10 seconds less. Who knows? But thinking about it, thinking about like, should I do this or shouldn't I do this? What impact does this have? Does this, that can cause a whole bunch of sleep disruption. So the kind of formula I use for this type of question is this one. X isn't the problem. Thinking of X is the problem. And you can use this formula for pretty much everything that comes up, you know, like screens or caffeine or exercise or this and that. That thing, you know, is not a problem, but you thinking about it can be a big one, 100%. So, Luke, I hope this was helpful to you. Let's see, we have a live comment here from Ruben. Hey, Ruben, and I think Ruben says hey to Quinn. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I was going to say, again, I hope this helps everyone that tune in. If you have any questions for a future class, send them here. If you would like some more support than we have here in open class, then self-coaching master program may be the perfect thing for you. It's particularly good if you want community support. It is really, really amazing seeing our current students, you know, talk to each other and support each other. It's really, really nice. And bedtime, of course, it's an app where I coach, and it's great if you are, you know, looking for convenience, just pop up your phone, question there, read a little bit, etc. Okay, cool. We have some live questions here from Ruben. Let's see here. Ruben said, I also used to feel the same like you do to Quinn. I lost all hope, but I kept holding on, kept educating myself about sleep. Now I'm doing pretty good. I love my life now. Thanks, Daniel and the team. This is amazing. I'm super happy, Ruben, and thanks so much for sharing this. And, you know, hope, you know, it's one of the most common things to hear people say is like, I felt hopeless, but now I feel hopeful. And Quinn, you know, listen to Ruben here. He felt like he lost all hope. He kept educating himself, doing pretty good. More importantly, loves life now. So happy. I am so happy. Thanks so much, Ruben, for sharing that. And that becomes the perfect way to end today's open class. So thanks so much, Ruben, and everyone else. And we'll be back to meet more soon.